Good Sunday morning, everybody, and welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. We're so glad to have you with worship with us this morning on this 4th of July weekend. That being said, it is 4th of July weekend, so happy 4th of July, everybody. I just have a few announcements to get us started today. The first one is Wednesday at 6:30. Don't forget Bible study here in the sanctuary or streaming on our Facebook page if you want to check that out. And Whitey has told me that there is a men's work day down at the creek at 6 o'clock on Thursday evening. The only other announcement that I have is that I'm starting to plan with the youth or anybody who is interested there since concerts have been closed down because of social distancing. They are having drive-in concerts all across the country. And in addition to being broadcast on the screen, the bands are actually there. Where Hounds Drive-In in Kings Mountain is hosting Casting Crowns in August. And I don't have it sitting right in front of me, but I think it's August 21st. Okay. And so if you are interested in going with that, tickets are $100 per carload, and you can fit up to 6 people in a car. So you could work on carpooling, just wear your mask, carpool together, and figure that out. And you can set lawn chairs and stuff out as long as you stay in the square that is designated by the seat, the ticket that you buy. So if you're interested in that, please let me know, or let Laura know, and she'll let me know, and we'll get that. We'll start getting those tickets. Already wanted me to let you guys know that they did order the air conditioner that was voted on last week, so that's in the process. And that's it. Enjoy your worship today, and I just pray that everyone focuses on God this morning.
Let us begin our worship service by standing and singing the first and the third verses of America the Beautiful. Would you stand, please?
Said, thank you very much for being here this morning. Thank you everyone that is joining us online today. We appreciate you tuning in and we appreciate you being here. And as Chad has already mentioned, this is 4th of July weekend. There's going to be a little bit of a patriotic theme to this service. But I want to tell you, as we join in prayer this morning, we need to pray for our country. Our country has been through a lot since 1776. We've seen brother against brother fighting. We've been attacked on our own shores, and we have fought. But I want to tell you something. I heard a song yesterday. It's the first time I've heard the song. It's not a new song. But the song is entitled, "In God We Still Trust." And we have to remember that. That our confidence is not in politicians. Our confidence, even though I love this country dearly, is not in our country. Our confidence comes from one place, and that is in God Almighty. He is the only one that will be able to heal our land right now. And I'm asking you, as God's people, those called by His name, that we humble ourselves and we pray, not only for our own needs, and not only for each other, but we pray for our leaders and our country, that we will see the attacks that are coming from Satan. Not only to destroy our country, but to destroy the church. So if you'd please gather with me in prayer, and please remember Sandra and her brother. He completed his second chemo round. The second treatment. So continue to pray for him. And then pray for Joe McCurry, Mr. Joe, and his family. His sister, Janice Horn, passed away yesterday morning. So please be in prayer for Joe and his family. He said his brother-in-law, it's going to be difficult. They were married 58 years. So he's having a difficult time, which is to be expected. But please just pray for them. And continue to pray for my family as well as my parents as they are continuing to deal with my dad's illness. So let's now go to the Lord in prayer. Do what?
My mother's
wife. Oh, Kim Pendleton, yes. She had...
She's going Friday, so we're going to do that once.
Okay. This Friday she's going back and having something else done. And then also pray for Miss Callahan, a former teacher at Crest. She is a terminal cancer as well. So please be in prayer for her and her family. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Almighty God, Father, we come before you humbly, bowing before your throne, praising you for being who you are. And Lord, we come to you as your people, thanking you for the fact that you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, to renew our relationship with you so that we do not have to go through someone else to come to you. But because of the torn curtain, that we can come directly into the presence of God Almighty. And we can make our petitions known directly to you. We praise you for that. And dear Lord, you have heard the names that are mentioned. Be with Joe McCurry and his family as they mourn the loss of his sister Janice. Be with Sandra Green and her family as they are trusting in you to do a miracle in the life of her brother. Be with Kim and Jerry and Alex and the rest of the Pendleton family as they wait on you. The Lord be with Miss Callahan and her family. Dear Lord, cancer is one of the most dreaded words that we can hear from a doctor. But we know that you are bigger than cancer. Lord, Lord, just comfort them. Give them the peace that only you can. Dear Lord, continue to be with my dad, strengthen him. Be with my mom, give her the strength to do all the things that she has to do. But dear Lord, I ask you to do this for my mom. Please allow her to turn her brain off and get some rest. Let her renew her strength. But dear Lord, we come before you right now and we celebrate the birth of our country, our Independence Day. That we will take this time to lift our country up to you. To lift our leaders up to you. Dear Lord, there are forces fighting against our country, against our freedoms. They want to see us divided. And dear Lord, this is not the first time this has happened. And dear Lord, we know it won't be the last. But dear Lord, we ask you to work in such a way that we can honestly and truthfully say that we are one country under God. Dear Lord, heal the divisions, heal the pain, take away the hatred that is coming from every direction, so that we can say that God is alive and well. Dear Lord, we know that we serve a risen Savior. But we want the rest of our country to know that. And we want the world to know that. And we are asking you right now to do a miracle in our country. Thank you for those that are gathered here today, and thank you for those that are watching online. Dear Lord, may your name be praised today. And above all, will people realize where true freedom comes from. We ask that you receive all the honor and glory for everything that is done and said here today. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Hello again. All right, so there's no kids here in the building today. There's a few teenagers and preteen, or a teenager and preteen. No kids. So what if you're at home, parents, what I want you to do, I want you to draw your kids in real close to the TV. I'm waiting. Then they get there, I want you to get behind them. And I want you to grab them and squeeze them as hard as you can and tell them that I miss them. I miss them being here with me on Sunday mornings. I miss children's church. I miss all their crazy questions and everything that goes along with it. And I understand why they're not here. But I do look forward to a time when they're back. All that out of the way, I want to share with you. I want to talk with you about this weekend for just a minute. It is the 4th of July weekend. And we celebrate our freedom. I want to tell you why I like that word freedom. It's because of my mother's maiden name is Stanton. And we Stantons are some tight people. And I like free stuff. I always said if they were giving out whoopers at the top of the driveway, I'd be the first one for free. I'd be the first one there in line. I'd get mine because it's free. I'd say, sign me up, give me one. And being serious, freedom is kind of a tricky word because the thing is, freedom is not free. We celebrate the freedom of our country on the 4th of July. And I wanted to share with you some numbers that I got from battlefields.org. This is numbers from the Revolutionary War where we fought for our freedom. I want to share with you what freedom cost. 6,800 Americans were killed, estimated. Now, I honestly thought that number was gonna be a lot higher than that. But it was the way they did about not more than 20,000 served at a time, and there were never more than, I think it said 13,000 at one place. 6,100 Americans were wounded, and 20,000 Americans were taken prisoner by the Revolutionary Army. That freedom doesn't sound too free if you ask me. People fought for this freedom that we have in this country. So I want you to remember that. And I want to share with you this first couple lines from the Declaration of Independence. And I want you to listen to something real close. It says, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assemble," this is appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. Now, I can go on and on, because that's what those sentences in those legal documents are weird. It's a bunch of commas. But they made sure that when they appealed for their freedom, that they appealed to the supreme judge of the world. They were fighting for their freedom in the name of God. Freedom means the power or right to act, speak, or think as one without hindrance or restraint. And I love the freedoms that we have in America. We're free to be here on Sunday mornings, openly worshiping God. And some countries don't have that freedom. But more than I love the freedoms that we have in America, I love the freedoms that every single being of creation, every single person is allotted through a cost that was paid. I'm going to read Romans 8, chapter 2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." We were all slaves to sin. We didn't have, before Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on the cross for us, we were enslaved to sin. But thankfully, because he did what he did, he rose again on the third day. Not just for the kids, not for the adults, for everybody who's willing to accept it. We have our freedom in Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, there were five verses. I found 21 verses in the New Testament that reference our freedom that we have through Jesus Christ himself. But it talks about it all through this glorious book that God gives. And so, kids at home, people here, when we're out today and we want to, or this week, and want to complain about things that are going on, which we all do that, I know I do it, just remember that we have been set free, and it wasn't free. It was paid for at a cost that we didn't have to pay. And Jesus Christ died in our place on the cross of Calvary and rose again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I just pray that you guys watching, all my kiddos, have an awesome week. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the freedom that we have through the price that your son paid on the cross so many years ago. And we just thank you that he defeated the cross. Now, he defeated the grave. And he rose again on the third day. All we ask in your name, God.
We almost always sing "God Bless the USA" on the Sunday closest to the 4th. Never have the words been so much truer as they are right now. The first line, "If tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for all my life. And I had to start again with just my family and my wife. I thank my God above to be living here today because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Yes, it's freedom, yes. Never since the Civil War have we fought against each other. But no matter what we're going through, I'd still rather be right here in America than anywhere else. So sing along with us when we sing this song. Be proud to be an American.
If tomorrow all the things were wrong, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my family and my wife. I thank my God above to be leaving here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom. They can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I'm born free. And I want to thank the man who died, who gave that life to me, and I'm happy to stand up next to you, and we'll steal the day. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I'm young this land. I'm glad to hear you say, from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, and across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that run to me, that I had to stand up next to you, and the wind of steel today. Under April now, I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave their life to me, and I proudly stand up next to you, and defend our steel today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless you, sir.
You know, you pastor had a cell phone up here in the pulpit. probably looking at Facebook or ain't something else up there that y'all would be doing. Well, that's an amazing song. Let's think about the freedom that we enjoy here. In today's society, people are saying that even this holiday is racist. But to be honest with you, in our country, this holiday is where freedom began. Because up until 1776, 13 colonies that made up the Americas were just that. They were colonies. They were ruled by England. And they were under the authority of a king that was not present here. He was in England. And what he said in England went was the law here. So two representatives from each colony got together for the first Continental Congress. They could not agree. So they came back together and they had the second Continental Congress where these 26 delegates debated and talked about the idea until the idea that they just weren't wanting to get the king to let them do what they wanted to do, but they came up with the idea of completely severing ties with England and becoming their own country. So a young man by the name of Thomas Jefferson scribed or wrote the Declaration of Independence, and it was signed by all these men on July 4th, 1776. That's not when independence was won from England, but that was when it was declared, and thus the Revolutionary War began to mean they were fighting for their independence. They just weren't fighting to get their way, but they were fighting for independence. So that flag was sitting there. That represents freedom in our country. That represents the victory won against tyranny. But if you notice the title of our sermon today, do you know true freedom? Yes, that flag means something. That flag is hanging on the front of my house. Because that means something to me. But what I want to talk to you about is the freedom that's represented by this flag over here. That is where true freedom is. So if you look at our verses today, we're going to be looking at John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. And this is what it says in John writing these words. He is actually recording what Jesus was saying. So it says this, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. Well, they forgot history. A lot of what's going on nowadays, they're forgetting about history right here. We've never been enslaved to anybody. It says, how is it that you will become free? How do you say that, that we'll become free if we've never been enslaved? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, and the son does not remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free and deed. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, once again, we come to you. Thanking you for the fact that we still have our freedom here in the United States. Thanking you for the ones that fought and died for this freedom. And regardless of what anybody else says, thank you that our forefathers sought to serve you. And dear Lord, we ask you right now that you help us understand what true freedom truly is. And bless the reading of your word. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Well, what is true freedom? Freedom has become synonymous with personal independence. So basically, what we say when we talk about freedom is the ability to make our own decisions and choose our own path in life, to do whatever we want, whenever we want. Would everybody agree to that? In fact, you know, I like movies. In one movie I watched, the guy says, I don't want to be told what to do. If I want to cover myself in jello and running around singing Yankee Doodle, I want to be able to do that because that's what I want to do. We misunderstand what freedom is. We think freedom is literally doing whatever we want, whenever we want, to whoever we want. That freedom is doing something, especially nowadays, freedom is doing something, whatever we want, without consequences for doing those actions. That's basically what it's become. And we see that in my own kids. I see it in my own kids. From the oldest to the youngest. Something gets broke at the house. They say this magic word that they think is going to alleviate the responsibility of breaking something. They say, I didn't mean to, or it's not my fault. But does that word, is it actually, those words, I didn't mean to, is that actually magic? Does it fix what has been done? Does it alleviate the personal responsibility for what has been done? Nope. And as Chad pointed out, there is a cost to freedom. And regardless if we mean to do something, our actions always have consequences. But we seem to have forgotten that, and freedom has been warped like so many other things in our society. Has been warped to mean something that it doesn't mean. And it just isn't now, but this was also happening then. You think about what these men said. Listen to this. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants," in verse 33, "and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Freedom was even misunderstood in Jesus' day. They have forgotten, these Jews that have trusted in Jesus, they have forgotten their own history. Does that sound familiar? Church, we have forgotten our history. We have allowed it to be warped. They were doing the typical things. You guys remember when we studied Exodus? Why did they have the Exodus in the first place? Where were they exiting from? Who can tell me? You guys can talk.
Egypt.
Where?
Egypt.
And what was their jobs in Egypt? They were slaves. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. So the entire book of Exodus It is about them exiting out of Egypt after slavery. But even in the book of Exodus, they complained and mumbled a lot, and they forgot their past. They forgot the history. And what did they say every time they start grumbling and they started fussing about their leaders, Moses and Aaron? They would say, "Why did you bring us out of this desert to die? We were better off back in Egypt. It was so much better in Egypt. It was so much better." What they were saying, we had it a lot better in slavery than we do being free. Does that make sense to anybody? But we do it all the time. We do it all the time. Jesus, when he was sitting here, and by the way, not only did they forget about Egypt, they forgot about the Babylonians, they forgot about the Persians, and lo and behold, who were they under the authority of right when they were saying this? Were they free? No, they were under the authority of Rome. They were under Roman occupation. But then they were saying, how can you say that we've not been slaves to no man? They forgot history. Jesus was not talking about setting them free to do whatever they wanted to do. He was setting us free to do what we ought to do. When man was created, he was created to have a relationship, walk and talk, have a close-knit relationship with God, the Creator. But that relationship was broken, and Jesus was saying that he came to set us free to be able to have that relationship with God again, the way we were designed to have that relationship. Verse 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus was liberating us to walk in a relationship with God and to be the kind of people we were created to be. Jesus was also giving us the ability to obey God and choose His will for our lives. This is the freedom that sin had long denied us. Now you think about what I just said. What disrupted or broke that relationship that we had with God in the first place was what? Sin. What is sin? Sin is doing it my way instead of God's way. It's a simple definition of sin. What's that middle letter? I. It's what I want. And I'm going to tell you something. Every single person sitting in this room has done that one time or another. Some of us have done that many, many times. This is the way I want it. This is what I say. This is what I want. That's what sin is when we say I instead of he. I want it my way instead of God's way. We are all guilty of that. But that's what broke the relationship with God in the first place. And Jesus is saying, I'm coming to fix that relationship. We have been held prisoners, captive by sin. We had no other way of doing anything in our own power. We couldn't turn away and do what we should do. Even Paul said, what? He says, I do the things that I ought not to do and don't do the things that I should do. It is the nature of the human being to do what I want. We did not have the strength within ourselves to do what we ought to do. Verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. We were held in bondage by sin. And we can't in our own power. Jesus was asserting that we are all under the power and control of the natural tendency to sin. We cannot get away from it ourselves. But sin not only is a powerful thing, but sin has a penalty that comes along with it. These men that fought for independence, these men that signed the Declaration of Independence, in the view of England and the king, what were they doing? They were committing treason. And treason was what? Punishable by death. If they had been caught, they would have been executed. And trust me, Britain tried to find them. So if you look at the Declaration of Independence, and you look at the signatures on the bottom, there is one that is bigger than all the rest. Who is that? John Hancock. And when John Hancock signed it, you know what he said? Or what it's, he is credited as saying? Even old King George can see this, is what he said. He wanted to sign it big enough that he could see it and know that he was standing against tyranny. But over here, sin does not give up easy, does it? Sin does not want to lose control. But Jesus actually died to give us the ability to defeat sin. And he paid the price, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But what's the next part of that verse? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died to defeat sin, to pay the penalty of death that is demanded by sin, to give us freedom to the slavery of sin. How do you get true freedom? Or how do you have true freedom? Freedom from the power and penalty of sin comes through the accepting Jesus' death on the cross of the payment for our sin. So in verse 36 of John 8, where Jesus says this, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You understand what that's saying now? That if we accept what Jesus died on the cross to give us victory and release us from the captivity and tyranny of sin in our lives, then we will know what true freedom is. As we submit to Christ, sin loses its power. Christ's power takes over. Not our power, but whose power? Christ. Anybody here ever done what I did? I've done where we say, well, I know I should, I can resist that. Did it work as well for you as it worked for me? I'll be honest with you, it wasn't too long before I was doing what I said I wasn't going to do. I'll never do that. Famous last words. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can have victory over sin and we can resist the temptation. I said this once, and a parent got a little bit aggravated at me when I was a youth pastor. I'm going to tell you something. Sin is fun. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to explain what I mean. Sin is fun. Why do I say that? Because Satan is going to make it as appealing as he can. Because if it wasn't fun, nobody would want to do it. You understand what I'm saying? Sin is that fun is the bait. But the problem with bait is that there's always something in there to catch you or kill you. When we go hunting, we lay out corn. Why do we do that? Because we're wanting to attract something, aren't we? That big animal with those horns, those antlers, it comes tromping along to get that corn. Or we put out the scent of a female, and he gets all excited, he comes out. And what do? We're sitting there covered in camo up in a tree. He can't see us. And we lay him on the ground with either an arrow or a bullet. That's definitely not what he expected he was going to be getting, is it? When you go fishing, you use the lure to attract the fish. But what are you also doing with that lure? You're hiding the hook. So when that big bass grabs hold of that lure, the last thing on his mind for just a second is that hook. But then he feels it real quick, doesn't he? And he fights for everything he's worth to get loose. And unless the line snaps, he's in the boat, isn't he? Sin has always got a trap. And it will always keep you longer than you wanted to stay, take you where you didn't want to go, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. Sin is like that. But when we trust and we choose to trust Jesus, our sinful nature loses control on us. It no longer has the authority over us. Guilt disappears and peace of mind dominates. Right habits become the norm, and that is true freedom. Freedom from the guilt of sin. Freedom from the price of sin. And freedom from the control of sin. That is true freedom. That is not provided to us by our Constitution. That is not provided to us by the Bill of Rights. That is not provided to us by politicians or our country. That is only provided through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is true freedom. And here's some facts that I want you to remember as we close out the service. Freedom is not the right to do what we want, but it is the ability to do what we ought. It's not the right to do what we want, but the ability to do what we should. The second is this, that without Jesus we are slaves to sin, unable to do what is right. And the third point that I want you to remember is a little bit longer. And I've got to flip over to another passage. But Jesus' death on the cross set us free from the power and penalty of sin. We as Christians misunderstand what that freedom is also. We misinterpret or misunderstand what true freedom is. Look at what Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. In verse 1 he says this, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase?" We are covered in grace. And the way it works is that when we sin, we're covered by grace. We have to ask forgiveness, but we're covered in grace. What a lot of Christians, or those that claim to be Christians, think is that because we're covered in grace, we are not bound by anything, and therefore we can do what we want to do. Because we have the freedom in Christ to do and say what we want. So I have actually heard a Christian dropped the F-bomb in the middle of prayer. But because they are covered with the freedom of Christ, because they're covered with grace, that's okay. I have also seen Christians go out and get drunk off their butts. But that's okay, because they are covered by grace, and that is allowable through the freedom of Christ. That is a misunderstanding of what freedom in Christ is. I'm not saying that we need to be legalistic about things, but I'm saying that we are misunderstanding what the freedom from sin is. Paul even answers that situation in the next verse, in verse 2. Look at what he says here. He says, may it never be. I like the way the King James Version says it. King James says, God forbid. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Think about what he says. Shall we continue to sin so that we get more grace? He says, no. How can we live in sin if we've died to sin? If we have got to be like the United States, fighting for their freedom, fighting for their independence, and as soon as they win it, they turn around and go, hey, King George, come and tell us what you want us to do. Here's our tax money. Would that make sense for them to do that? For us to give up the freedom that we have so desperately fought for? Would that make sense to anybody? But we do it every day. The freedom that we have been given from sin, we turn around and give up that freedom and go back to living in sin again once we've been freed from it. Now, logically, does that make any sense? That is why we must trust in Christ and count on the power of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and change us, to show us and be receptive to the Holy Spirit speaking in us, saying, this is not what should be done. You shouldn't be doing this. This is your old life. This is your new life. We need to listen to that. And church, I beg you, if you're here today and you don't know this true freedom, I'll be at this back door when we finish. Tell me as you're going out. We'll go into the office and we will talk about it, and I will show you how to know the freedom that only comes through Jesus Christ. And it's not just knowing about Jesus Christ, but it's about having a personal relationship with Him. That is the only way that you're going to know true freedom, is through that relationship with Jesus Christ. Because not only has He fought for you, but He has died for you. And not only did He die for you, but He rose again for you, and He's waiting to receive you unto His own. The Bible says that He is on the right hand of the Father, waiting for His children. And the day of His return is getting closer every day. We have no idea when it's going to happen, but He's going to come back. And He's going to claim to Himself those that have been set free by His blood. Don't get left behind. Don't love the sin so much that you miss the freedom that is through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our blessed Lord and Savior, thank You so much for what You've done. Thank You for the fact that we can know true freedom through You. And dear Lord, if there is somebody sitting here today or watching on the internet, dear Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would break their heart.